Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. We're holding on the last three words of Daf Nun Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, by the Gordon family, Lizchus Refuah Shleima of David Herschel Ben Feiga, Yishlef Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. Also by David Kesselman, in honor of our daf shiur and its helpful guidance in many areas. We should always share in good news. And also by Dr. David Belazin, in memory of his mother, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, Devorah Basimcha, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss today is we're going to continue the discussion of Ikar Shira Bepeh, or Ikar Shira Bekli. The Gemara is going to have first three different shitos, who are the ones who were the Ochse Klei Shir, who actually played the musical instruments, and we have two explanations of what that machlokas is about, in terms of who the people were that played the musical instruments. Then the Gemara is going to tell us that there's an alternate version of the of how to understand the machlokas tanoim, whether Shira is Docha Shabbos. Meaning, we know, we saw a Brisa yesterday, that there's machlokas tanoim, whether Shira is Docha Shabbos. Which Shira are they arguing about? So yesterday we said, well, they're not arguing about Simcha Space Hashoeva. That's for sure not Docha Shabbos. That's just, you know, Riboy Simcha. They're only arguing about the Shira of Karbanos, whether it's Docha Shabbos. Now we're going to have a Deya that says the opposite, that the whole Machlokas is only about Simcha Space Hashoeva. Maybe when it comes to the Shira of Karbanos, Kuli Almalo Pligi, that's going to be Docha Shabbos. Then the Gemara is going to bring the source for the Shita of Ikar Shira Bepeh, the source for the Shita of Ikar Shira Bekli, and what each one does with the other one's source. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is the Mishnah that describes the festivities of the Simchas Beis Hashoeva, and that's going to lead the Gemara to bring a brisa that tells us Mishalo Ra'a, anyone who hasn't seen, and it's going to give a list of things. If you haven't seen Simchas Beis Hashoeva, you never saw Simcha. You haven't seen the Beis HaMikdash B'Binyano, you've never saw a beautiful building, Binyan Hordos. You haven't seen the Yeshul of Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, and then you haven't seen Kavod Yisrael, all these different things. And if you haven't seen this, then you've never seen anything. And then at the very end of the daf, we may or may not get to it today, but it goes into a little bit into tomorrow's daf, we're going to discuss the basis of the concept in Halacha of having a Mechitza in the Shul. Probably we'll get to it tomorrow, we'll see. So let's begin. We're holding the last three words of the page on daf. So the Gemara tries to bring another machlokas tanoim that might relate to Ikar Shira Bepeh or Ikar Shira Bekli. Amar Rav Papa as follows: Kitanoi. Maybe this inyan of Ikar Shira Bepeh, Ikar Shira Bekli is talui in the following machlokas tanoim. So Ditanya, the Gears of the Masorah Shas is Ditnan, because it's a Mishnah in Arachin, that there are three shitos in the Mishnah of who exactly holds the Kli Shir at the time of the Shira Shel Karban. One shita is that it wasn't Yisraelim, rather was Avdei Kohanim Hayu. It was the Devarim Meir. It was the Avadim of the Kohanim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachas Beis Habgar, Mishpachas Beis Tziparia, Umi Amo'um Hayu, Shai Masin Lekuhuna. These two particular Mishpachos who were known to be Miuchasim, they were known to be people of pristine Yichus, and Memela, their Almanos and their daughters were allowed to marry Kohanim, because their Yichus was really good, so Kohanim who are Michasim inherently are going to marry the people from these families. So these are the families that were the ones that were involved in playing the music in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus Omer, Leviim Hayu. No, it wasn't Yisraelim at all. It was Leviim that Yisraelim would be Michasim. Even Michasim would be possible for this job. It was the Leviim that played in the band in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara tells us, my love, so Bahaka Miflagi, isn't this exactly the Machlokas? Demandi Amar Avadim Hayu Ksav Rikashir Bepeh. The one that says that the Avadim were allowed to play the music holds that Ikar Shira Bepeh. So as long as you have the Levim doing the singing, you could have anybody playing the music. So they had Avadim doing it because the Avadim were very talented, maybe. Omandi Amar Levim Hayu, the one that says that it was the Levim that were playing the music, Kasavar Ikar Shira Bekli, must hold that that's the mitzvah of Shira, and therefore we insisted on having Levim do it. Isn't that exactly what the Machlokas is about? Says Gemara V'tizbra, can you really say that's what the Machlokas was about? Rabbi Yossi, my Kasavar. There's a third Shita that you're not going to be able to easily explain if the whole machlok is really about Ikar Shira Bekli or Ikar Shira Bepeh. Why would you insist on having Yisraelim who are Miuchasim? Well, how do you explain that Shita? Ikasavar Ikar Shira Bepeh, if you hold that it's Ikar Shira Bepeh and the people playing music are really not doing the mitzvah of Shira Sa'afilu Avadim Nami, then you should be allowed to have Avadim. Why stop at Yisraelim Miuchasim? I know you're not going to require Levim, but why stop at Yisraelim Miuchasim? You might as well have Avadim. And Ikasavar Ikar Shira b'kli, and if you hold the kashir b'kli, Leviim in Yisraelim lo, then you shouldn't even allow Yisraelim. It's got to be the Leviim who are doing the music. Ella, so the Gemara says, you know what? That machlokas is about something else entirely. D'kuli alma ikashir b'peh. Really, everybody agrees that it's ikra shira v'peh, and really, may ikra adin, there would be no problem in having avadim play the musical instruments. Ubahakam, if you know what that machlokas tanaim is about, demar savar hachi avamaisa, umar savar hachi avamaisa. The whole machlokas simply, what did they do? Machlokas is not a machlokas in halacha. In halacha, anybody could play the musical instruments because it's ikra shira v'peh. The machlokas is simply who actually did it. Was it Leviim? Was it Yisraelim Yuchasim? Or was it even avadim? So the Gemara says, my nafkamina. I don't know. Well, what difference does it make what they actually did? We're not discussing a matter of halacha over here anymore. We're just discussing a matter of history. We know what's the nafkamina la halacha. Why would there be a machlokas tanaim about that? Says Gemara, no. Chaps nafkamina la halacha. This is a shaila in history that has ramifications in halacha. Lemalin miduchin liyuchsin ulemaiser kamiflegi. The machlokas tanaim is, you have to be choshesh that these people are going to go from the duchan. If you see someone who was menaged on the duchan, that you're going to assume that you can give him your maaser rishon because he's a levi. So because everyone's going to say, oh, if he was playing musical instruments, then he must be a levi. Or can you assume that he's a miyuchas? You don't have to check into the shidduch resume too much. You could assume that that he's a miyuchas. You can marry off your children to him. So that's the shaila. So Madi Amar Avadim, are you the one that says that they were Avadim Kasavar Ein Malin Miduchan Liyuchsin Velola Meiser? That just because someone was involved in the Klei Zemer of the Beis HaMikdash does not necessarily mean that you could assume anything about him, not his yichus, nor about giving him Maaser Rishon. Umandam Yisrael, are you the ones the Shita that says that Rabbi Yossi, who says that it was Yisrael and it was not Avadim, it was Yisraelim who were playing the music, because of Malam Yiduchan Liuchsin, holds that okay, the fact that they were all on the Duchan playing the music at least tells you that they're Miuchasin, Avalol the Maaser, but not that you can give them Maaser Rishon, because they were not Leviim. Umandam Leviim, are you in the sheet that says that they're Leviim? Kasavim Ma'ilin Miduchan Bein Liuchsin Bein Lemaiser. You could assume everything. You could assume that not only are they Miuchasim, that they're even Leviim, and you could even give them your Maaser Rishon. So up until now, everything we've explained is the Shita of Rav Yosef and how to understand the Machlokas Rav Yosef Rivida and the Rabbanon whether the Chalil is Docha Shabbos. I mean, we had a Brisa where Rav Yosef Rivida and the Rabbanon disagree whether the Chalil is Docha Shabbos. So Rav Yosef had told us yesterday, yes, that's talking about the Chalil of a Kar. But the Chalil Shel Shoeva, whatever they had, whatever they played by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, that's only Simcha Yaseira, that's just to enhance the atmosphere, and everyone's going to agree in such a case that that's not Docha Shabbos. You're not allowed to play music on Shabbos when it's only to enhance the atmosphere. Now the Gemara is going to tell us an opinion that says the opposite. For Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Machlokas B'Shil Shel Shoeva, the whole Machlokas is only by the music of the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So Rabbi Yosef reviewed the Sover, Simcha Yisera Nami Docha Es Shabbos, where Rabbi Yosef reviewed is going to say even that is Docha Shabbos. V'Rabbanan Savri Simcha Yisera Nami Docha Es Shabbos, and it's only Simcha Yisera, and therefore it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. Avol B'Shir Shel Karban Divrei Kol Avodei Hi V'Docha Es Shabbos. But when it comes to the Shir Shel Karban, everyone holds a Shir Shel Karban is really an avoda, and therefore it's going to be Docha Shabbos. So two opinions in Amarim, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, in how to explain the Machlokas Tanaim, Rabbi Yosef reviewed on the Rabbanan. Are they arguing about the Shir Shel Karban, or are they arguing about the Shir Shel Beis HaShoeva? So says Gemara, let's try to bring a Raya. Meisvei, we have a Brisa, Shir Shel Shoeva Docha Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It says explicitly, Shir Shel Shoeva is Docha Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yosef. That no, the Shir Shel Shoeva is not Docha Shabbos, nor is it Docha Yom Tov. So you see that the Machlokas is about the Shir Shel Shoeva. So Tiyufta to Rav Yosef, Tiyufta. So that right away rejects the Shita of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef thought when it comes to Shir Shel Shoeva, no Machlokas, no way it's going to be Docha Shabbos. It's only Simcha Yisera. Here you have Mefurish in the Brisa that they're arguing about the Shir Shel Shoeva. Says Gemara, yes, but Rav Yosef actually said two things. He said that it's that Kuli Amalo Pligi by Shir Shel Shoeva, that it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. We've proven him wrong about that. He also said that there's a machlokas about the Shir by Avoda about the shir of Karbanos. So what about that? When it comes to shir shel Karban, was he right about that? That that's a machlokas? Or maybe no. Maybe by the shir shel Karban, everyone agrees that that is Dilcha Shabbos. So says Mar Lema, b'shir shel Shoreva hu depligi, av b'shir shel Karban divrei akol Dilcha Shabbos. The implication of the Brisa is that the Brisa records the machlokas only about a shir shel Shoreva, so it implies that outside of shir shel Shoreva, when it comes to shir shel Karban, everyone's going to agree that it's Dilcha Shabbos. So Lema Tavit Yivta Rav Yosef Betarti, which would mean that Rav Yosef is double rejected. Both halves of the sentence were rejected, where Rav Yosef said that by shir shel Shoreva, there's no machlokas, everyone agrees, it's no, you can't do it on Shabbos. We already rejected that, and now we're rejecting the other half of the sentence where he says that they argue about a shir shel karban, and here we see that they don't argue about a shir shel karban, that it is docha Shabbos. So I'm like Rav Yosef would tell you, look, you rejected me halfway, you're not going to get me on the second half. Meaning it could be that I'm right, that there is a machlokas even by shir shel karban. Why does the Brisa only mention the machlokas in the context of shir shel Shoreva if they in fact argue about a shir shel karban as well? So pligi b'shir shel Shoreva v'uadin l'karban. They argue about a shir shel Shoreva and they also argue about the shir shel karban. And v'haid d'kamifli b'shir shel Shoreva, the reason the Tana of the Brisa Dafka mentions the machlokas by shir shel Shoreva, or the reason they express their machlokas in the context of shir shel Shoreva, lo diachol kochad Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda da'afilu d'Shoreva nami dachi. We're trying to highlight the koch da'ateira. The Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, to be makil that you're allowed to play the music of the Shir Shel Karban on Shabbos, that's one thing. But to even allow the Shir Shel Shoreva on Shabbos, which really is only Simcha Yaseira, to go that far, to even allow that on Shabbos, wow, that's a big kula. So we want to highlight the machlokas where the biggest kula is going to emerge. And that's the general concept we have in Shas, Koach Te'atera Adif. The Koach Te'atera Adif, meaning it's always a bigger chiddush and it's always a bigger deal to highlight the kula that emerges. So if we would have expressed the machlokas in the context of shir shel karban, no major kulas would have emerged. Okay, a normal machlokas, but now a major kula emerges. So that's why he says you cannot say that it's a tiyufta on both halves of my sentence. Says, well, let's try again. I think there can be a tiyufta on both halves because v'akatani, our mishnah says zo chalil shabbos shreva she'eno docha lo es hashabbos v'lo es yom tov zeu deino docha aval de karban docha. What's the word zehu doing in the mishnah? The mishnah says zeu shir shel shreva, which is not docha shabbos v'yom tov, which implies that the tana of our mishnah holds that the shir shel shreva is not docha shabbos v'yom tov, but the shir shel karban is docha shabbos v'yom tov. Well, now that we know that that when it comes to the shir shel shreva there's a machlokas, so money, who's the one that would say that shir shel shreva is not docha but shir shel karban is docha? Inim Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that can't be. Harmer shir shel shreva nami docha. We already established Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that it could all be done in Shabbos, even the shir shel shreva. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is clearly not the author of our mishnah. El alav rabbanan. It must be that our mishnah is a reflection of the sheet of the rabbanan who holds that shir shel shreva may not be done on Shabbos. And yet, in the Mishnah itself, it implies shir shel karban may be done on Shabbos. So tiyufta d'Rav Yosef Betarti. So you see that there's no machlokas by shir shel karban. Shir shel karban, even the shita that says you're not allowed to do shir shel shreva on Shabbos, will say you're allowed to do shir shel karban on Shabbos, and that's against Rav Yosef because Rav Yosef thought that there was a machlokas by shir shel karban tiyufta, and therefore we have a double tiyufta on Rav Yosef, and the way it emerges at the end of the day is that there's a machlokas by shir shel shreva and by shir shel karban kuli am lo pligi, that one is allowed to do it on Shabbos. So my time at the man diyamar ikr shir b'kli. Now revisiting, going back to the issue of ikr shir b'kli, ikr shir b'peh. So says Gemara, what is the basis for the shita of ikr shir b'kli? Where do you get the idea that the instruments were the primary mitzvah? So d'chsiv vayomer chizkiyo lahalos ha'olo lamizbeach. So you see that the Shir Hashem is Klei David, and the pasuk explains the Shir was like the Klei Shir that David made. So you see very clearly that it's Ikar Shira Bakli. My time demand Yemer Ikar Shira Bapeh, and what's the basis of saying Ikar Shira Bapeh? So that we have a pasuk in Devarayamim. lamechatzitzrim ulamishorerim lashmiya kol echad. So it mentions only the mishorerim. So you see, the mishorerim are the mechatzitzrim is stam. It's the blotzkios. That's not for music. So, but the mishorerim are mentioned as the singers. So you see that it's singers. It's not musicians. So says Gemara. Okay, what's each one going to do with the other one's raya, with the other one's pasuk? The idoch nami haksiva yomer chizkiyahu. But what are you going to do with the pasuk vayomer chizkiyahu, which implied that the ikar shira bakli hachikamer heichel shira Hashem. Kama, heichel shira Hashem refers to bapeh, that you should do the shira Hashem, which is supposed to be done bapeh. Ayidei kli, David Melech Yisrael, levasu mekala. And then when it mentions the kli of David Melech Yisrael, the musical instruments of David Melech Yisrael, that's a levasu mekala. That's only to accompany the voices. But the voices are the ikir. V'idach nami haksiv ayikechal mechazatsum mishorerim. What do you do with the pasuk that describes the mishorerim? If you hold that ikir shira b'kli, how do you handle a pasuk that talks about the mishorerim, the singers? Hachikam, mishorerim dumi d'mechazatsum. That just like the trumpet blowers obviously are using a kli, when we say mishorerim, we mean people are mishorer b'kli. It doesn't mean people are mishorer b'peh. So that's the end of the sugya of ikar shira b'kli, ikar shira b'peh. So now the Mishnah goes into some of the descriptions of what was going on at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Misha lo ra'a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, lo ra'a Simcha miyamav. Someone who didn't see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw such a chashva simcha in his entire life. On the night following the first day of Sukkot, Yordu Lazarus Nashim, the Kohanim and the Levim and everybody else would go to the Lazarus Nashim, Umasakran Sham Tikkun Gadol, and they made a major tikkun over there. They did something that was very helpful for the history of Klal Yisrael, which the Gemara is going to explain at the very end of the daf. We'll probably get to it tomorrow. Menorah Shel Zav HaYisham, they had these large golden candelabras in the Ezra's Nashim, v'arbar svalim shel zav brashem, these four giant golden bowls on the top of each menorah, v'arbar sulamos l'kal echad ve'echad, and each of those menorahs had four ladders going up to each of these bowls, v'arbar yiladim mipir chikun, and they would have four young kohanim, obiadeim kadim shel mei v'esrim lug, holding a jug that held 120 lug, of meaning not 120 lug, 30 lug each, so four of them, so 120 look total, Shein Matil and the Kol Safal V'Safal, that they would put in each of these bowls to light up the Beis HaMikdash. And then, Miblayim Michnase Kohanim, they would use the worn out Big De Kuhuna from the Michnasayim, from the Avnates, from the belts of the Big De Kuhuna, Mehenoi Mafkin, they would tear off from the worn out Big De Kuhuna, they would tear off pieces, Ubenoi Madlik, and they'd make wicks, and they would light those pieces as the wicks for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. And every chatzar in Yerushalayim was lit up from the light of the Beis HaShoeva. That's how bright the lights of the Beis HaShoeva were. Chasidim anshei ma'isai, and whenever you have lights, that represents a sense of great simcha, right? When you have less light, that represents a sense of sadness. Minhag Yisrael is on Tisha B'Av, fewer lights in the shul. And when at a simcha, right, there's a minhag that people carry candles when they walk their children down the aisle. So there are a number of reasons for that minhag. One of them is neiros are always a symbol of simcha. So you always are marbe b'neiros when you're experiencing something of simcha. So so they lit up the whole Beis HaMikdash. The whole Yerushalayim was lit up from the aura of the simcha's Beis HaShoeva. And then chasidim anshei ma'aseh merakdim b'fneihem. The Chasidim and Anshei Maisa were the ones that were doing the dancing at the Simchas Beis Shoeva, ba'avukos shel or shabiyadehen, also holding torches of fire, and they were juggling the fire at the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Rashi says some of them did with four avukos, some were with eight avukos, right? Someone pointed out to me that it's a shmona avukos that they were juggling, that if you check it out online, the Guinness Book of World Records for most torches is juggled by one person is seven. So Misha Lara Simchas Beis HaShoeva Lara Simcha Miyamav. You've never seen that pulled off, that someone is able to juggle eight torches. V'om Levneim Divrei Shiros Shpachos, and they would say Divrei Shiros Shpachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being Mashreis Shechina on the Beis HaMikdash. V'alavim B'kinoros V'nevalim Saltim B'chatzosos V'klei Shir. The Levim would play all of the musical instruments. Belo Mispar, they had it wasn't like a standard Chasana band. It was just incredible numbers of people playing Klei Shir. Al Chamesh Esrei Malu Seyordos Mez Yisrael Az Nashim, on the 15 steps that went from the Az Yisrael to the Az Nashim, Kenegid Chamesh Esrei Malu Shebetilim, and those 15 steps correspond to the 15 Shira Maluses in Tilim. Shalei and Levi and Omdim Beklei Shir Ramim Shira. That the Levim stood on those steps and they sang Shira. Amdu Shnei Kohanim B'Shara Elyon, and then the Simcha went all night, and in the morning they had to begin the hachanos for going out to the mayan, to the shiloach, to draw the water. So two kohanim stood at the shara elyon at sharni kanar she yorid me'ezrus yisrael lasrus nashim, that went down from the ezrus yisrael lasrus nashim shnei chatzotzos b'yadayin, and they held trumpets in their hand. And when kara agever, when the announcer would call out that im du kohanim lavodaschem, that the kohanim should get up and levi and duchanim yisrael lema'avadam, so which was very very early in the morning, it was before alos hashachar. So takuvi riv takuvi, they'd blow a tkiya through a tkiya. Yigil the maila siris, then they'd get to the 10th step, and again takuvi riv takuvi, again they'd blow a tkiya through a tkiya a second time, and then yigil la zara, they'd get to the actual karka of the ezras nashim, takuvi riv takuvi, then a third time they'd blow a tkiya through a tkiya. So I token vahol chadat shemigil la shara yotze. These last tkiyos they would continue to be marich in the tkiya until they got from the ezras nashim to the shara yotze mimizrach, to the place that goes from the Ezras Nashim to the Harabayis on the eastern side. That's where they went out to go draw the water. So it was because everything was going from west toward the east. Higil the Shara Yotze, when they got to the Shara Yotze from the Ezras Nashim to the Harabayis mimizrach, havchu pneyan mimizrach lemarav. They turned their faces from the east to the west, meaning they turned back to the Beis Hamikdash. Va'amru avoseinu shoyim b'makom hazeh achareim aleichol pneyim kedma. That our forefathers, when they stood in this spot, they turned their back on the Beis Hamikdash and they faced the sun and they would bow down toward the sun. But anu l'ka'inenu, we, our eyes are always to Hashem. We're not turning our back on Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hayushon v'omrim anu l'ka'inenu, that they would say it twice. They would say anu l'ka'inenu, that we are to Hashem and our eyes are geared toward Hashem. So a lot to discuss over here. There are a lot of issues over here. So first of all, we mentioned that that the menorah shel Zav had arba asfom. So the Ben Yoyada writes that the menorah light is always a remez to Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. So arba asfom is because there are four chalakim of Torah. You know, for we who learn halacha, so you think four chalakim, of course. Or chaim yerdeyev v'nezachashmishu. No, pshat remez drush and sov. Those are the four chalakim of Torah, the four levels of Torah. May of the esrum lug, it was 120 lug. Tos Yantav writes it's a remez for the Mei of Esrim years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, where his Torah was able to light up the world. In the Chidushim Mariach, he says that it's Merami's on the 120 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain to be Mekabel the Torah Hashem Mi'ira, to be Mekabel the Torah Hashem that lit up the world for us. Yaruch Ner says that the Tosfos Yontif, who says that it corresponds to the 120 years of Moshe's life, it's a remez. That's a remez for the tzaddikim, but there's also a remez for the Rishayim over here, because 120 was also a critical number when it comes to tshuva, that the Dor HaMabul was given 120 years of a chance to be able to do tshuva. So that's also a remez to them. The hundreds, so the numbers are all significant. Everything that was chosen very carefully. Now there are some halachic issues over here also, meaning what do? They use the big day kuhuna to light the menorahs. So Tosfos and Masecha Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph raises the question that big day kuhuna, even though they're worn out, they should still have a din of Meila. So Tos suggests a number of terutzim. First, Tos says that since it's a simcha for the cover of the Nisach HaMayim, it's considered a tzorech korban. So it's not Meila because it's not for human benefit. It's for the benefit of the korban. The Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perches says, why is a simcha for the cover of the Nisach considered a tzorech korban to allow an Isra Meila min HaTorah? It's not a tzorech korban to allow an Isra Negina, which is a Shvus Midrabanan, right? If it were really an Avoda, if this were really considered an Avoda, you should be allowed to play the Klei Shir. You're not allowed to play on Shabbos or Yantar. negative. You're not allowed to. We just got through that sugya. So it's not enough of an avoda to allow the klei shir, but it's enough of an avoda. And playing klei shir in Shabbos Yom Tov is only nisa to rabbanon. Shemi yisak in klei shir, right? But it's enough of an avoda to allow for meila min haTorah. How could that possibly be? So he says that Tosos must be understood in combination with what Tosos says that Lev Bezin is masna aleim to be matir, that Bezin made it tonight in the Kedusha, the big day Kuhuna, that it should also be designated for this use. And the whole question Tosos was really discussing is what motivated Lev Bezin to be masna aleim? Why would they incorporate such a tonight? So that's what Tosos is saying, that since it's Lekava Nisa Chamayim, it's Kitzarach Karban a little bit, to the point that Lev Bezin is going to be masna aleim. The Meiri just says much simpler. He says it's Tzarchei Rabim, it's like Chomas Ha'ir, which you're allowed to buy from the Shiari Alishcha. So why should this be any different than using the Shiari Alishcha to pay for the walls of the city? This is also considered a Tzarchei Rabim. Other Rishonim suggest that the Big Day Kohen Hedyot are not subject to Me'ila because they're meant for this purpose. It's only Big Day Kohen Gadol that we learn V'hinicham Sham, that's Tutanim Geniza, that they put the Big Day Kohen Gadol down at the end of Yom Kippur, and it's Tutanim Geniza. So it's only by the Big Day Kohen Gadol that there's even an Inyan of Me'ila. There's not going to be an Inyan of Me'ila when it comes to the Big Day Kohen Hedyot. The Makneh in Maseches Kiddushin is Medayik from Lashon the Rambam that only from the Ksonas they would make the wicks for the menorah. So Dafka by the Ksonas, you'd be Moel even if it was worn out, since they didn't they were not yet Nasas Mitzvasan, that they you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah because they're still omade for another mitzvah, and that's that they were hooked for. But the Mechnasayim and the Avnate, which are not roy for the menorah, so then it's Nasas Mitzvasan, it's not subject to Me'ila, and it's Mutter for the Tzorach of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So that's why we identify the Mechnasayim and the so what was used for the Psilis, the menorah, is one thing, that's the Ketonis. What we hear for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is the Mechnasayim and the Avnate, which were not designated to be used for the menorah, and Mimela they're already considered that which is Nas Mitzvasa, and they're not going to be subject to Me'ila. There's also a discussion. First of all, just Stam, that it doesn't mention, it's interesting that it doesn't mention in the Mishnah when it lists a whole list of instruments and it doesn't mention the Chalil, which was everything yesterday, meaning when we were talking about the instrument, that was the instrument. So the Aruch Haner notes that it's missing from the list, even though in the beginning of the parak it seems to be the primary instrument. He also points out the Mishnah says that the Levim or Menagin, the Rambam doesn't mention that. So it sounds that everybody was Menagin. From the Rambam, it sounds everyone was menagin b'kli, whatever kli he knew how to be menagin with, he would use. So the Aruch Haner says that the Rambam paskins ikar shiru b'peh, and therefore the Yisraelim were also menagin. So kol shkei by the simchas beis hashoeva, the Yisraelim were kashal menagin. Even by karban, they were kashal menagin for sure by the simchas beis hashoeva. But our Mishnah holds that only the Levim were menagin by the shir shel karban because ikar shiru b'kli. So they were gozer that the same should be by the simchas beis hashoeva as well. La halacha, our Mishnah holds ikar shiru b'kli, and therefore by the shir shel karban, only Levim could do it. Then they made a gezera that since by a karban only Levim could do it, that even by some space shreva only Levim could do it. But the Ram doesn't paskin like our Mishnah, because he paskins ikar shira bapeh, not ikar shira bakli. And then two last points at the very end of the Mishnah. We said that they would make this declaration. Avoseinu hu b'makom hazeh, they would bow to the sun. What are you talking about? Your father's like that. What kind of way to talk is that? You're going to go, now's the time to bet. Just say you're dedicated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to say your forefathers were so terrible. As Stam, just speak Lashon Hara about your forefathers. So Ben Yoyada is bothered by that. What kind of vidui is that? So he says that that there's an Indian of vidui in order to be so Saint Pia Satan that he shouldn't be Makatrig against them. That sometimes if you bring up your own weakness, it weakens the Satan's argument, meaning because you get to frame it. Because if the Satan's one that brings up, these are the children of those who used to be, be Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so then it's not going to look good. But if you bring up your own fault, your own weakness, your own skeletons in the closet, so you're able to frame it in a certain way, that's what I often advise guys, there's something about them that they need to tell the girl that they're dating, something about Shidduchim. You tell her before someone else tells her, because if someone else tells her, they're not going to frame it in the way that you would like it to be framed. Much better that it should come directly from you. So the Satan works in the same way, or it could be that because they're said that the tzura of Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a Lel Pesach, where we are maskal begrus mitchilo of the avodah zara. You have a saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to thrive spiritually and to grow spiritually. In the Chiddushim of Rabbi Elazar Gutmacher, in the back of the Gemara, he says that they did it as a kapara for the avonos of their fathers, like Chizkiyo was giri ratzmo saviv lekaparaso, that right in Hodlo Chacham, the Chacham thought it was a good idea that he was megar ratzmo saviv, that he dragged his father's bones. Why did he do that? To give his father a sense of kapara. There's also an interesting discussion, this phrase that they say, but anu, we, leka einenu. Is it leka einenu or le einenu? Meaning, is it an Aramaic word or is it a Hebrew word? Anu leka or anu le. We are to him or we are to Hashem? Tos Yantav quotes a perush from the Sefer Kaf Nachas that the Lamed Yud Hey is Ba'aramis. It's to him. It's lay. It's a love. And it's going on the Heichal. And we're saying that we're Mechabe the Heichal as opposed to our forefathers who were Mevaza the Heichal. But the Tos Yantav disagrees. And he says, no, clearly it means Lekha. It's referring to a Shem Kodesh. It's Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Klape anything else. So it's same letters, different pronunciation with very different meanings to it. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Tan Rabbanan, Mishla Rasim Chespe Shoeva LaRasim Chomiyama. If a person did not see the Simcha Chespe Shoeva, they never saw a real, genuine Simcha in their lifetimes. Mishla Ra Yerushalayim B'Tefarta LaRa Krach Nechman Me'olam. If you never saw Yerushalayim in all of its splendor and all of its glory, you've never seen a beautiful city in your lifetime. Mishla Ra Beis Hamikdash B'Binyano LaRa Binyan Mefura Me'olam. If you never saw the Beis Hamikdash built, then you've never seen a beautiful building. So Maihi, which Beis Hamikdash are we talking about that was the most beautiful? Because obviously only one could be the most beautiful. Are we talking about Shlomo HaMelech or of Nechemi ben Chakalio or the Binyan of Hordus? So Amar Abayi, Vitem Rav Chista, Ze Binyan Hordus. We're talking about when Hordus renovated the Beis Hamikdash. That's what we say is the most beautiful Beis Hamikdash. B'mai Banya, how did Hordus build the bayis that was so beautiful? So Amar Rabba, Ba'avnei Shisha, he used stones of marble that were like a greenish color, umirma, and white stones also. Ikadamri bavni shisha kuchla umirmara, that he used like a blue and white type of stone. Apik safav ayil safav, and the two stones, one would go in, you know, it would be a row in and a row out. They would protrude out a little bit and go in a little bit. Kiechid il kabal sidus, so that they could fill in the cracks with plaster. Savil mishayu bedava, he wanted to then coat the whole thing in gold. Samalei rabbanon shavke, the rabbanon said, no, leave it alone, leave it the way it is. Dachi shaper tvei, this is even nicer than if it were with gold. Demischazi ka advasa diyama, because it looks like the waves of the sea, and that's the most beautiful thing that you could possibly have. If it looks like the waves of the sea, that's the most appropriate way that it should look. The reason they wanted the Heichal to look like the waves of the sea, the Ein Elio says, based on Yerushalmi, that the Tchelis and the Tzitzis is because it's Domel Yam, which is Domel Rukia, which is Domel Kisei HaKavod. So they wanted that the Mikdash should also be Domel Yam, which would also be Domel Rukia and Domel Kisei HaKavod. So as particularly in Bayesheni, which was Chisarna Fashas Ashkina, so they Dafka made this simon to be Meramis to the Shechina when they didn't have quite the same level of Ashras Ashkina in Bayesheni. So Dafka, the picture of the Yam, it's not about the Yam, it's about the Yam is Domel Rukia, is Domel Kisei HaKavod. That's what they were trying to bring to mind. Gold doesn't bring to mind the Kisei HaKavod. Tiny Rabbi Yehuda Omer Misha Lara Diyuplustun Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Anyone who didn't see the beautiful shul in Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Lara B'Kvotin Shal Yisrael, never saw the great covenant of Klal Yisrael. Amru Kamin B'Silki Gedola Haisa. It was like this large palatial structure, Stav L'Fnimi Stav, with two platforms, one inside of the other, benches, two rows. Upam Shayu Ba Shishim Ribo Ki Yotzi Mitzrayim. Sometimes they would have 600,000 people, the number of Yotzi Mitzrayim. Va'amri Kiflaim ki Yotzi Mitzrayim. Some say they would have double the amount of Yotzi Mitzrayim. Vayiba shim vachas katadraos, and they had 71 katadraos shalzav, like golden benches, connected shim vachas Sanhedrin Gedola, corresponding to the number of dayanim on the Sanhedrin Gedola. Kol achas vachas ein b'chusu me'esrim v'echad ribo ki kari zav, and each one was at least esrim v'echad ribo, was 21 ribo of ki kari zav, which is a massive amount of gold. Ubi mishal eight. And there was a large wooden platform in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses, the Chazana Knesses Omid Aleha, and the Chazana Knesses, the Shamish, would stand on that bima, Vasudrin Biyadom, he'd have flags in his hand, the Kimin Shegil Anos Amein, and when came time to answer Amein, Hala Meinuf Besudar, V'kol HaAmonon Amein, he would wave the flag, and everyone would answer Amein to because that was the symbol that it was time to answer Amein when he would wave the flag, because no one was, there's no way you're going to be able to hear when there are so many people in the room. So there are a couple of issues over here. First of all, Amein of Pesudar, the Rishonim raised the question: how could you answer Amein when someone is Amein of Pesudar if you didn't hear the bracha yourself? The Gemara Brachas Mem Zayin tells us that there's something called an Amein Yisoma, that if you answer Amein to a bracha you haven't heard, that's called an Amein Yisoma. So how are you allowed to answer Amein to such a thing? So a number of Mahalchim in the Rishonim. Number one, they suggest that the sugya and brachas is talking about when you need that Amein to be yotze your own bracha. So to be yotze through your answering Amein, that you need to actually hear the bracha. You need to have a shomea ka'ona. Over here we're talking about someone who's not mechuyev in a bracha. It's a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah or something. I don't have to say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah. The Ola has to say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah. So, and some say even tefillah, if you already davened, is called Eina Mechuyev B'davar. So even for Chazar HaShas, but I already davened, so I don't need to be yotze. I just need to answer Amein. A second possibility is Sugyam in bracha is talking about you don't even know what bracha he's saying. So what are you answering Amein to? They still say quotes this Mahalich as well, that you don't know what you're answering Amein to. So that's an Amein Yisoma. But if you know exactly what bracha they're up to, you're following along, you're just not able to hear everything that's being said, then that's not an Amein Yisoma. Then you can rely and the waving of the Sudrin. A third possibility that the Beis Yosef quotes is that in Brachos is talking about when a Yachid hears a Mevarich, and over here we're talking about where the Rabbim are Ona Amein. And the post can point out that these different answers disagree in Halacha. According to Rashi, your Ona, when you know what he's saying, even if you're mechuyev b'davar, meaning even if you didn't hear and you're mechuyev b'davar, because Rashi is the one that said that it's all about whether you know what he's saying or not. According to the Ri and the Ran, you're not ona even if you know exactly what he's saying. If you are mechuyev b'davar, it all depends whether you're mechuyev b'davar or not. So this is a fundamental machlokas in Rishonim laHalacha. The Shulchan Aruch paskens in Kuf Chav Dalid the chumra of the first teretz, that when you're chayiv in a bracha, you should not answer Amein, even if you know what bracha he's saying. And the Ramah mentions the chumra of the second teretz, that if you don't know what bracha he's saying, then don't answer Amein, even if you're not mechuyev in the bracha. So we're machmir like both of those terutzim. The other matter that comes up over here is we said that where were all these Jews in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim? So there's the Rambam writes the Lahalacha that there's one place that a Jew is allowed to live anywhere in the world except for Mitzrayim. There's only one place in the world that's off limits to the Jewish people to live. It's interesting that the Rambam formulates it that way. Some use that as a raya that the Rambam doesn't paskin that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Rambam said for mitzvahs doesn't mention Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, "Ooh, you forgot a big one. You forgot Yishuv Eretz Yisrael." So some suggest, Milgilas Esther famously suggests, that the Rambam holds that there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh, and or could he, maybe even there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, whereas other achronim say, no, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is incorporated in all the other mitzvahs, you know, all the mitzvahs, tzlius baritz, everything else. It's obvious, it's too fundamental to be a mitzvah. But one of the rayas they bring is the Rambam has that formulation. You can live anywhere in the world, it's all open, just not Mitzrayim. So that sounds like you're allowed to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. But what about the Mitzrayim piece? Over here we have all these people living in Mitzrayim. It's also Yadua that the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. There's a famous line in the Kaftar Vaferach. He says that the Neched of the Rambam was made, that he used to sign his name on all of his letters, Ha'over B'chol Yom Gimel Lavin, that a person violates three Lavin every single day. So they point out that we don't have no record of the Rambam ever signing his name that way, and it defies logic that he would do that. You're going to brag, if you hold that you're violating an Aveira, you're going to brag about it. It's hard to imagine that the Rambam would have signed his name that way. But anyway, what about all these people in Mitzrayim? So some suggest once Sancheirav was Mevalbel Sa'olam, the Mitzrayim are not Mitzrayim anymore. everyone who's moved from place to place, maybe the Issa doesn't apply. Some say that no, it was only Yitziva the Shaita, it wasn't a mitzvah the Doros, because at that time, it's right, Shtufei Zima, now everyone is Shtufei Zima, so it's, or whatever, it's equal in the whole world, it's not Dafka Din in Mitzrayim. Others suggest that all this is only to return along that derech, the same path that we left Mitzrayim to go along that path. But if you fly into the airport, then it's not going to be a problem. So you have all these different mahalchim. Let's try to finish up over here. They didn't sit mixed in the shul. Each profession sat in their own area. Which is an unbelievable thing. This is highlighting the role of a shul as a center for chesed. That if there are people that need a job, so you network within the shul. You know people who know people who are going to be able to connect you. So that's based over here. That's based in the Gemara. That's lo rami kvodan shel Yisrael. That's the kvodan shel Yisrael. It's not the number of people only. It's the fact that they set it up to help each other out. Amar Abaye v'kulu katlinu Alexander Smokton. All of these hundreds of thousands of people were killed by Alexander Smokton. My time at Yanshu, why were they punished in such a way? Mishum davri ha'ikra l'sasif l'ashuv b'derech hazeh od v'inu hadarasu, because it says you're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim, and they went to Mitzrayim. So they violated. All those answers we said before were about the Rambam. Right, that was the Rambam allowed to be there. Kiyasa ashkechinu davukar b'sifra. When Alexander came to destroy them, he found that they were reading in Sefer Dvarim Yisa. So Amar, he said, that I wanted to travel a 10-day journey, and it only took me 5 days. Obviously, you know, there's a sign that you know, I have a job to do, and he went and he carried out his killing. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up at the two dots tomorrow. That was the Daf Yomi coincidence that we had the Tochcha right there. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
All right, take care. Good Shabbos.